had a vacation to go in. In fact, had a little savings account in the solvent bank.
Do you think it was because there was drinking going on Beale Street?
Well, the drinking and the, you know, gambling and all that kind of stuff was going on. That was it.
Did you see the same movies at the Idle Hour that were also playing at the Daisy?
Oh, yeah.
So you didn't have to go to the Daisy?
No, I didn't have to go there. That's just like shopping. I had people to tell me, y'all had to go to Squab's to buy whatever. I never bought anything in Squab's until I was grown. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to go there. Mr. Alpern would go to New York. And first time I ever saw an imitation fur coat, I guess I was about 12, 13 years old. And the kids in New York were wearing imitation furs, and he brought me a little coat back that was brown, and it had a leather belt on it, and it was interlined with cotton flannel, you know, interlined and
inside.
Sounds nice. Make it warm.
Sounds really warm.
Yeah. And he brought it back and said that's what the children were wearing, and would I like to see Miss Bessie? And my mama, his daughter, my mama was near the same age. So I got the whatever the children were wearing, he'd bring it back, and Aunt Kate and Sissy were both working for the Pullman Company and cleaning cars. He'd bring it back, and if I said I want it, I got it, and they paid for it. Mm-hmm. He let them pay him whatever he charged them for it.
Did they ever show films in your church, religious films? In the church?
What kind of films?
Religious films?
Oh, yeah. Reverend Taylor did that. That's what I was wanting to tell her about him showing those films in the churches.
No, the Reverend Taylor showing films in the churches is in the later. It's not in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you ever see films in your church before that?
When you were a little girl or in high school.
Oh, when I was, no.
Do you ever see films anyplace else besides the theater during that period?
Besides the theater?
Mm-hmm.
No.
They didn't show them at school?
No.
So, now tell us about Reverend Taylor. The films that he showed, he was allowed to show in your church, or did you go to some other church to see?
Oh, he just showed them in different churches all over.
Oh, he traveled.
In fact, he would go to the National Baptist, the Black National Baptist Convention before they split up in so many parts. And he was the official photographer. He had pictures of the delegation and everybody going and coming, and he would show movies of that around the different churches to the people that wasn't able to go.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just give him whatever they wanted to give him for it. Other than that, that was it. But now that was part of the thing that the Center for Southern Folklore got changed to buy. I don't know, somehow or another, he had a fire there in that house. And part of his equipment got burned. And the rest, Mrs. Taylor sold it to the Center for Southern Folklore. Well, before they could get it all waked up and cleaned out and everything, Miss Taylor passed away. And I don't know, but here comes a guy with one of his illegitimate offsprings and wanted to take over. He went down there and told Judy that he was managing Miss Taylor's business, and he wasn't no such thing, because Miss Taylor left that house. And whatever she had to a friend of hers that had lived next door to her, she had remarried, and now she's living right now on Golden Street. Miss Taylor left that stuff to her, because the woman that her husband took care of her until she died.
Could you describe some of the films that you saw in the church?
It's so long ago.
No.
I wouldn't want to try to accurately describe something, you know.
Okay.
It's been that long, because I've seen so much stuff since then. Shit.
Well, could you tell us, in Reverend Taylor's films, did you see people that you knew?
Huh?
When you saw Reverend Taylor's films, did you see people in the films that you knew?
Oh, yeah.
There were people from around the neighborhood?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, and he has some still pictures of people that he had taken. Families like the Atkins across the street there.
Did he also show story films?
Did you see any other black films, either in the movie house or someone traveling around like Reverend Taylor?
They weren't making them.
I'm sorry?
They weren't making any black films that I know anything about.
Okay.
This is just a new something that has come up. Now, only thing we got to see
At the Idle Hour Theater, was that a wooden structure?
It had been a store. Uh-huh. Nah, I don't know. It wasn't a wooden structure.
So it was a store, and how did they change it into a movie?
They just didn't. They had a balcony in the back for the film operator, you know, and the screen down.
What were the seats like?
In folding chairs.
Wooden.
Wooden, but they were hinged together. These individual seats were hinged together.
And when there were black people and white people that were both in the theater at the same time?
No, principally the people that attended the Isle Hour were black.
Were black. Did they have special showings for whites, or whites didn't go there?
No, it just didn't, unless it was somebody that just wanted to see something that was coming in. Mm-hmm. It was up to them. Mm-hmm. It's like whether they wanted to come in there or not to see.
And they could sit anywhere.
And, uh-huh.
Do you remember how much it cost? How much did you get from your aunt?
Oh, I got a whole quarter and went to the show. And had some money to buy me some oranges with, but I didn't get to do it. Because down the street, there next to the fire station, was Mr. Angelo's place where we'd go and get our fruit and candy and stuff, you see.
And you'd bring that to the theater?
Uh-huh.
And what were your favorite candies?
Oh, peppermint. I like peppermint candy.
Peppermint candy.
And chocolate ice cream. Got some.
They didn't sell anything in the theater?
No, oh no, there wasn't no place in there to sell it.
It was a small theater?
Very small, just like a big size store. That's the kind of, and it was, I'm sure it was quick on the outside.
Do you remember who owned the theater? Was it a white person?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, that's what I'm telling you. The folks all live next door to one another and everything up there. And I was told it was an Italian man, but now I don't know who actually owned the theater.
And the person that took the tickets?
Well, that's what he was at.
Was this small theater usually full whenever you went there?
Oh, yeah. They had a good congregation. Because, I tell you what, the people, the operators always treated everybody like they wanted them to act, you know. And so that was the way. Didn't have a lot of fighting going on, trying to start up something like I see in here now in some neighborhoods like this one.
Mm-hmm.
We, all the time we'd see the police, they'd be driving through here.
Mm-hmm.
But in later years, when the old folks just started up the neighborhood, began to die, and the younger ones, they grew up here and moved somewhere else to start their families. When the old folks died, they rented the place, and that's what started the stuff.
I see.
Because one woman, a Mrs. Gaia, G-A-I-A. When Jose McCullough, the colored man that owned property over down Hollywood Street in Hunter, and well, from Hunter Street, because it was a white man owned corner there in Elbridge back to Hunter. Because that was a commercial street in Nashville, and Baron Grosje, Mr. Baron and his wife bought over there, Matthew and Hollywood. Bam! But this Mrs. Guy, Gail or Guy or whatever, she bought up there when Jose McCullough died, she bought up there on the own, put a liquor store. Not going to sit down and call them out, but she wanted to put a liquor store in. And then naturally the white people that moved back towards Chelsea Street, they got with the colored people that live down here and wanted to stop her from putting a liquor store there because the Hyde Park School was at Hunter, at that end of Hunter Street down there in Tunica, where the park is now. She went all, she couldn't get it here in Memphis because we had some friends up there and in charge of government and telling us what to do. And those white people, the preacher and all, was trying to help us to keep them putting that liquor store there between the children on the east side of Hollywood Street. We'd have to come cross there and come by, you know, to go to school. She went all the way to Nashville. And I learned that early in life that people in Middle and East Tennessee, thought all the folks in West Tennessee and Shelby County, where the biggest of Tennessee's tax money was coming from, were a bunch of idiots, and Crump, all he had to do was feed them some watermelon. Oh boy, they told some, I learned that after I got grown by going to the nurses convention and hearing those people with my sister and hearing those people talk, you know. They had all the schools and everything and for black folks in Middle and East Tennessee. Shelby County paying the taxes, the biggest amount of the taxes in Middle East of the money for appropriations.
Sam's, can we, I have a question about the Idle Hour, if you don't mind. You told us that Saturday they played Westerns, and Monday and Wednesday they played the cereals that your mother liked so much.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what they played on Tuesday and Thursday and Friday? You never went those days?
No, I didn't.
After you started working, did you still go back to the Idle Hour, or did you go to other theaters?
I went to other theaters. That's what I tell you. I went to one on Main Street. I'm trying to think of the correct name for the theater.
That was the theater where you went to the balcony?
Uh-huh. That's where I saw the Ten Commandments and all those shows. Later, I started going to the Orphan when it reopened.
But those, the big shows like the Ten Commandments didn't play at the Idle Hour?
Oh, no. Not then. It didn't, because I don't guess it was made by... But see, Ten Commandments wasn't made until later.
Right, but when... Was the Idle Hour still existing later, or did it close down?
No, they had a dance hall out there.
Oh, I see.
The building had a dance hall upstairs, which I didn't go to. Though I didn't say I didn't do the dances they did, but I couldn't do them in public because of family objections.
The theater that you can't remember the name of, you said that there was a theater you can't remember the name of, the one that you went to afterwards.
It was on Main Street.
On Main Street.
On the east side of the street.
Right. You went to that theater because you didn't have to go around back?
That's the one I went to where you had to go around in the alley and go up on the side, outside, to get into the part where they had colored things. Before that, we didn't get in that theater.
Oh, you couldn't get in before that? And around what period is this? Can you remember around what year before you, no?
Could you tell us a little bit about after you got finished with 11th grade, did you start working then?
Uh-uh.
You stayed with your family?
I stayed with my family. And as I said, they all worked. And I had the responsibility to take care of everybody's bills and pay them on time. And keep it up with everything.
So you managed the household?
Uh-huh.
Right. And
when I started off to get Social Security payments was because after we had moved out here and I was good and grown, Mrs. Gerber started, her husband was in the Attorney General's office at the time. She started to give, she had a maid, she lived at 761 University, and she had a maid, and she said, Lou, I'll tell you what, she said, I know the position you're in, you want a little job, but you can't see, because they sent me to Henderson Business College for a year. I learned a little, and Mr. Gerber would tell me, he said, now you anything you don't understand. All I can tell you, give you somebody to go with so they can explain to you what you can and can't do. See, we know that Faye has to his wife. Faye has told me the position that you're in. And we don't want to offend Carrie and Sissy and Kay, because see, they've been, as he told them one time about a guy that raising a lot of sand. I don't know. We were living on 2nd Street then. And a friend of mine came to see me, and about 9:30 that night, I was walking her down to the corner of we live between Concord and Overton. And I was walking her to the corner of Overton with her talking, these guys had come to work on the Indian Railroad line, and they were around there. And they started doing a lot of talk to us and the man that had grown up in the neighborhood with me and his sister. He said, you got the wrong girls, and they don't participate in what you're doing. Don't count them in at all. They were going to knife him, you know, because they worked for the railroad. Well, they told me my dad worked for the railroad when I was born, Illinois Central. That's why I was vaccinated before I was a mule. So we called the police down because they were carrying out so bad. And Mr. Julius Alburn told him, he was the city attorney at the time, he said, Judge, Your Honor, whatever they tell you, they'll tell you the truth, because she's from that kind of family. So now we know that she didn't take a part and wasn't allowed to take a part in all that kind of carrying on like they were doing. So that was what they would find their man, his brother, come tell him, come there, I just want to talk to you, you know, my brother. He thought, I said, well, now, see, I ain't got nothing to do with your brother. I said, no, sir, I don't have nothing I want to say. They want to find him for it. We go to court and you appear to testify against him. He don't have to be found. Now, he thought that I would be stupid enough to stay away and not let people testify for me that knew me and knew my family's character, because he would pay me some money or something.
Did these men who worked for the Pullman or the railroad, did they have housing in this town?
Did the
railroad provide them with housing in town?
No, they were just, you know, fixing the tracks. The Ellen Railroad was what they worked for, see. Louisville and Nashville. And that had been a substation of that on the second streets of between Concord and Oxford, on the same side of the street where we live. Mm-hmm. They hadn't provided, they were in car boxes or whatever cars Ellen Inn provided for them to sleep in.
Going around
butting in with. And well, there was a section of women that took up time with that much, see. And he was just going to take over the neighborhood. They just thought, you know, because they worked for Ellen and Railroad, and they punished them a place to stay. Everybody else was going to win away and come, as they say.
The women that were, you said the women that worked for the Pullman Company, cleaning cars,
cleaning, sleeping cars,
and they cleaned and worked for the railroad only when it came through, or did they travel on the?
No, they would bring the cars. See, at that time, the Illinois Central had their station at Poplar and Front. And all down there was the railroad yard. The cars, when they would come in, unless they were going all to see, they would put clean cars on going on through from Chicago to Memphis. Then they'd have pick up a clean Pullman line of cars to go on through to New Orleans.
And some of your family worked there?
This auntie that lived here, Millie Edwards Moore, and Katie Hayes flew in the next house over there. Both of them worked for Pullman, cleaning cars, but they lived at home, at their houses. See, they worked 8 hours a day.
Was that considered a good paying job?
Oh yeah, and especially for somebody that had any more education than they had. God was good.
Do you have any idea of what kind of pay they got?
Well, yes. They would get, I guess on the average of $4 a day.
And what years was that when they were doing that work?
They worked from 19... Well, they worked from 1917. Nellie started to work in December 1917. And Kate started to work in May of 1918. And they worked until one of them made 22 years and the other made around 24.
And that pay that you were telling us about was when they started working?
Huh.
The pay scale, when you told us how much they were making, was that when they started working?
That's when they started working.
Well, that was very nice then.
Mm-hmm. That's when they started working. But then they went from to 5 days a week. And they have extra people for the days to fill in, you know, when the others, the regular ones, they get a chance to make the extra money.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell us, after you went to the business college, you were still living at home and taking care of your family's finances. Uh-huh. Who were your friends then?
My friends.
Yes. Were those the friends you had still in high school, or did you make new friends?
Oh, I had friends in high school and friends in the neighborhood.
And did you, what kind of amusements did you have then when you were grown up?
To go to all the plays and everything else I could. Nobody would, I was afraid to walk at night up there in that neighborhood because everybody knew me. And those that didn't want to live like I lived, they didn't bother me. They just let me go in on my way and nobody met nobody else.
Did you see?
I could ride the bus and go down to the college, to Henson Business College. They'd have dancing socials on at night. I could go there
you could dance there.
Uh-huh, yeah. And I could just in general enjoy a good life, I thought at the time.
Were the plays that you saw, were there any black companies that put on the plays that you saw?
Oh, only in church's auditorium, things like that.
So, those were the plays?
Uh-huh, yeah. And when the first time Baron Allison came here, I went to church's auditorium.
The church's auditorium that is the auditorium.
Church's park down on Beale Street.
Uh huh. So I mean, it was a public place, church itself.
It was only a public place. See, Robert Church gave the park to the city of Memphis. He was the first black millionaire here in Memphis. And he gave the park and the auditorium to the city. And that's where colored people came there. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk a little bit about Mr. Church? Did you know very much about him?
No.
How he made his money and...
Only hearsay, see. I didn't know very much about him.
Were you aware of when he was forced to leave Memphis?
I don't know when his daughter was forced to leave.
Hmm? You say his daughter was forced to leave?
Yes, she and Miss Ida B. Payne.
What was?
Was a city school teacher at the time. Mm-hmm. And they used to lynch folks here in Memphis, so they told me. I heard of it, but then said that they drove them up and down Beale Street, one group of men. Just any kind of tale could be told. At that time, a black man was in worse shape than he is now, because all he had to do was just be born with a black face. And unless some white person took up for him, he would just consider nothing.
Mm. Why was Mr. Church's daughter forced to leave?
Well, there were some things that she said and did, and from the looks of them, they had to be true, because they were whiter than some white folks I know, see. And, you know, the majority can raise the biggest roofers.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's colored people. It's a bad thing to get up in front of a congregation and look at them. You see everybody in the world, this round, represented. They look just like some folks. And some of those folks, the reason the people try to give them and help them, because they can't help it, but not like my family. It wasn't a situation like that. The only real light-skinned folks I ever saw in my family, at least ever heard of in my family, I never got to see them.
Mm.
Because Mary, my mother, naturally was lighter skinned than me, but nah, not that much.
Mm-hmm.
And they tell me I'm the same color my daddy's mom, so I don't know nothing about his daddy, because he didn't know him, because he died when he was a young person.
Mm-hmm. But the Churchills, I mean the Churches were a very fair family.
Yeah, they were.
And what kind of things were in that auditorium? What kind of shows?
Anything that represented the best culture of colored people. Mm-hmm. That's what they had going on. They like Mary Allison and like Roscoe Simmons. He was a great orator and at the time. But he couldn't get a hearing, and they had a theater and places for white people, but none for colored people.
Mm-hmm.
And Church's Park and auditorium was the place. Now that's where we had our Cartwright High School had the graduation exercise down there. Anything that concerned the general welfare of colored people, that's what happened at Church's Park and Church's Auditorium. But the city of Memphis didn't furnish us no place to do anything but that section of Beale Street that gambled and cursed and did every prostitution practice up and down Front Street. Now, James Canaan, I know at some time you heard about Jim Canaan's place on in the First Ward.
You want to tell us about?
Huh?
Tell us about Jim Canaan's place.
Well, now I never was in there, as I told you, and the women in my family were ever in there, though they were born and reared in the neighborhood. When we moved out here, we moved from a half a block from Jim Canaan's home house at 2nd and Overton, and we lived on the corner of the alley between Overton and 2nd and Concord, just a half a block on the opposite side of the street from his home house. But now he lived there with his sister, Miss Kate, and her family, the Pendergrasses, her daughter, children. They played with the black children around the neighborhood. They went to St. Bridget's, which is St. Teresa's church now, Little Flower. It moved from 3rd and Overton to where it is now.
What business was this gym in?
Everything just was low down, they told me. he operated this place on Front Street, and the police would get in behind colored parents that would try to get their sons and daughters from up there. Some of the best looking colored people would run away from home and go up there and get in that place, you know, because they had heard that was a great life. And they'd get up there, and then if their families would come to try to get them away, the police would run them away, because see, he was running things here in Memphis at that time.
There was gambling?
Gambling and prostitution and drugs selling, just like these folks selling drugs now. There were places up there in that neighborhood where you could pass Chinese people. They were operating the laundries and things, and sometimes you'd go by those places and the paint over there, they call it hop, you know, what they call it now, the opium. They'd be smoking that stuff in there, and it would make you sick. Pacing. I didn't like that. They used to do all the table clothes and counter paint, you know, things that heavy quilts and all that kind of stuff. But folks, they did those things regularly. Pass those places where they were smoking that stuff and isn't it sick. So that's nothing new. You just made a choice as to how you wanted to live.
Is that why you moved?
Huh?
Is that why your family moved from there further away?
When they opened this place up out of here, that was a good place to buy, a chance to buy a home. That's why they started buying. They pay, you could pay $5 and $10 down on a lot back then. Because the lots like this one was selling for $350.
Were there any movie theaters out here then?
No. There wasn't nothing out here. So it had been a farm when they first moved out here. There were still rows of whatever they was planting.
So and where did you go for your entertainment?
I didn't come out here.
Oh, you did.
My aunties did. At least my aunt, next door, her husband, he paid down on 3 lots. He was going to be such an explorer of things, you know. And my mama always had a mind of her own. She wasn't going to let it put her out here. And so that left him with 2 lots, that one where the house that next door was all boarded up. Because I persuaded my aunt to give it up after he died. Because she go to where the folks were moving in and moving route and you can pay them and see them. We were living out here at the time. And just I said, she don't need, she can have the children. I said, she just don't need that to be worried because it was more hurt than it was help. Mm-hmm. And I was advised to tell her to give it up. So I did. She got what she could out of her energy, out of that, but I tried to get Sissy, the one that owned Nelly, the one that owned this house. I tried, the oldest one, I tried to get her to let Herman Gruber really to come and put her up a standard old house. The standard windows and everything in it. No, nobody wouldn't, I don't know. Just when you don't know, you just don't know. And some people, you know, they want to do what everybody else is doing. Mm-hmm. And that's not no way to live. You have to make your own choices as to how you want to live. And that's what I have been told the whole time. But, she had this house put up, and it's been giving us the devil ever since. Because everything you have done has got to be especially done in that size, see, in a standard like that one there next door. Now, I don't have all that trouble with that house. Because standard size windows and doors and window shades and all that kind of stuff, you can get it. But over here, it wasn't. I said, Sissy, let Mr. Cooper put up a house and paint it, you're going to intend to live in it all your life. She's going to have it done her way, so. We had a fireplace put in there for to help balance the length of this room across here with some kind of solid foundation. Alright, that was extra expensive. Whenever we got get window shades or something, I had to cut them down in to fit the window.
We've been talking to you for quite a while, and I've got one last question. I'd like to know what kind of plays you saw in the church auditorium.
What kind of plays?
Plays. You said that was where Marian Anderson concerts and others, and that's where people...
orators, you know.
Orators, When you say orators, were they preachers or
no?
They recited.
Some of them had a political tone to them, complaints about certain things that were happening at the time. Uh-huh. If we wanted to hear it from the black person's view, that's where we had to go to do it, see.
I see.
Did they show films there on special occasions?
Not that I know of.
Were there any sort of like traveling groups of performers that put on plays in the auditorium?
You had to go to Daisy to see the brown skin models and all that. See, and after I got grown, that's where I went to see.
What about
a group of friends that thought like I did about it? See.
What about the? Did you ever see a theater company like the Lafayette Players?
No.
Did you go often to the Daisy when you were grown to see the stage shows there? You said you went to see the brown skin models.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't go that often to see it.
Special occasions?
No, special occasions. I just wanted to see what it was like.
Uh-huh. What'd you think it was like? Did you enjoy the show?
Some of it I did and some I didn't.
Can you tell us what parts you liked and which parts you didn't like?
Well, some of the jokes were all right, but the thing about it, my boyfriend said that if I wanted to see a naked brown-skinned woman just undress, he said, because if you get up close to them, you'll find out they don't look so beautiful as you think you do off the distance. Mm. And I had several friends, you know, who would tell me the same thing. And that men that I grew up with. See, and I guess not having any brothers. Mm. I learned a lot from men.
Were there ever fairs that took place here, black fairs? The place in Memphis.
I told you they told me about them dragging the men up and down the Beale Street after they had lynched them.
Yeah, but I was thinking of a state fair,
fair. Yeah. F-A-I-R,
yes.
Yeah, Reverend J.L. Campbell and some others had what they used to call the tri-state fair.
They
and
ever,
that was for black folk. You didn't get to go to the
other fair.
Was that nice?
Unless somebody, you know, just wanted to carry some white person. Mm.